I believe that security awareness starts at home. You know, we're going to talk about that later as well. I'm a big believer in that. And I think it's how people behave at home. They also behave at work.
Hello, everyone. This is Todd Nielsen with the CISO Hotline podcast. It is absolutely my pleasure to have today Gabrielle Freelander join us as our expert to talk about this topic today from a cybersecurity perspective around privacy and auditing and what Gabby has done with his career and his businesses that he has founded. Actually, Gabby joins us today from Israel. He's typically based in the Massachusetts area, and we have done business over the last number of years. I guess Gabby's been probably a dozen or more, and it's absolutely been my pleasure to have him here. Currently, Gabby is the founder, CEO, and is managing Wiser Training. We'll talk more about security awareness training today. And he's also a board member, co-founder, and previous CTO of Observit, which is also a cybersecurity auditing and visibility company that is absolutely making waves in the industry, doing great things with many, many large enterprises around the world. So thank you for joining us, Gabby. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Todd.
So actually, let our audience know anything that I missed about you.
No, I think you overall got it right.
Okay.
Now 100% doing Wiser, which is the security awareness training you referred to.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you. So that's a good place to start. Why don't we start there? Tell me a little bit about Wiser Training. You from Observe IT perspective, tell us a little bit about that, because I want our audience to know, you know, that auditing capability you had, which is really cool. And how did you go from that to training?
Sure. So Observit is a solution that addresses the insider threat in the organization. And it really is a great solution that allows to monitor behavior, audit going on the computers in terms of what users are doing on the computers. And a big part of it is a big part of insider threat in general, as I see this, is also training. Because when you look at something called Insider Threat Program, it's a mix of things. It's part of it, it's tools, but a bigger part of it, it's people and processes. When I used to talk to customers and we found the different stuff that people were doing that were out of policy, I would say the majority was unintentional. But in many cases, it didn't really matter the intention, because the damage could be equally as bad if it's intentional or unintentional. People do very creative things, you know, and they prefer sometimes convenience over security. And that leads to a lot of risks that need to be addressed. So part of the solution is not only to block them, right? It's also to train them.
Yes.
And that's sort of like the, you know, how I got involved in training, because I had to explain to employees, and when we were building insider threat programs as well, and we advised customers, you know, a big part of it was also the training part. So that led me in Wiser to, you know, I think it was really a natural progress for me to take that expertise that I developed in Observit, because I really know what employees are capable of doing. Like, I've seen that firsthand, you know, every time. So taking all that information and then packaging it to training and delivering it through a simple method is something that was very natural for me to do.
Excellent. I appreciate that. And yeah, I agree with you. I think that security awareness training is absolutely critical. And we both know you can't throw tools at cybersecurity and call yourself secure. It ain't gonna happen, right? You need to have that trainer, that user component absolutely managed. So I know that your tagline, if you will, or your secret sauce when it comes to Wiser, is that it's free security awareness training. You know, why free?
So it's a great question. It has two parts to it. One, it's a business model, and I'm going to talk about the freemium business model in a minute. But I think if you can do both good for the community and also make out of it a good business model, then you win, you know, you win twice.
Yeah.
So for me, I think the information is actually out there. You know, like if you want to learn anything about security awareness, you can, you know, Google it. So it's not like there's no IP over the data. I think we can take that information and make it available. I believe that security awareness starts at home. You know, we're going to talk about that later as well. I'm a big believer in that. And I think it's how people behave at home. They also behave at work. And I wanted to make a difference. So creating those videos and making them as simple as possible. The videos are very short, 1 minute long, because I know that people's attention span is almost zero. So you really want to, you know, get their attention and make sure they understand and remember, because the more you talk, the less people remember.
That's true.
And the second thing is the second part of it is that I think it's the best business model ever, because you get to give first. And I think that's always better, to be able to give first and then, you know, hope that you'll get back, instead of, you know, asking. So giving the community this value, and it's a full blown security awareness solution. It's not just the videos. It's tracking what people are doing. Did they finish the training? Did they, you know, you have reports, basically everything you need to run a security awareness program. And there are add-ons. So the add-ons, for example, are phishing simulation. Not every company needs it, right?
Right.
But if they do, that's a paid feature.
I see.
There is gamification. There are other features that we are providing that are on top of the basic security awareness. And this business model allows to significantly also reduce the cost of acquiring a new customer. So like I said, it does two things. You know, one, you give to the community. The second thing, you lower the cost of acquiring new customers. So yeah, you know, many of them are using it for free, and that's totally fine. You know, I'm happy. I'm getting feedback from people. The product is getting better because there are more people on the platform, and I'm getting more feedback. So, you know, it's just better in so many ways. I just, you know, I had to list it. It's just, if I have to give advice to like startups and other companies, I would definitely say, you know, build a freemium edition, show value first before you ask for anyone for anything, you know.
I'm a big believer in that too. I know that I've seen it in my life and my career as well. I'm sure you have. Obviously, you're living it today. Is, you know, you give one part to someone, you get 10 parts back. And it absolutely is it's a hard model to get your head around, but I know that a number of people talk about this. It's absolutely an advanced concept for those that are, you know, maybe struggling with their business and keeping the lights on and getting payroll paid and those kind of things that, as you are very familiar with. But I know that, you know, people want to help others. They absolutely do. And if you help them, they're absolutely willing to help you. So I appreciate that opportunity, that model for Wiser. So I know that being that's a freemium model for Wiser, but I have a question for you. So you obviously have dealt with CIOs and CISOs pretty much most of your, if not all your career. So if you are consulting with a CISO and you said, hey, you know, you need to implement something, your security project, and you have limited money, of course, like every company does. What would you tell a CISO, or what would you tell a company if you only had money for one security project, just one for now? What would you do? What would you tell them to do?
Well, it won't be surprising. My answer will not surprise you, but I'm a big believer. But I have to be honest, because this is my passion and this is what I truly believe in. You know, I think a lot of money was thrown on technology.
Yes.
And it's hard to get, you know, the more you spend on technology, I think, you know, it's harder to get that, you know, return. And I think we need to invest more in people. And that's why I also started Wiser. And if I have to give advice, is build a security culture, not just an awareness.
Nice.
And invest in making people understand and care about security.
Okay.
That's something that I would invest, you know, because the return on investment of doing so is huge, right?
Yes.
Like if people take the time, and we're going to talk about it, you know, how you do that. But if viruses and malware don't just get in, like people click on them, people invite them in. That's, you know, that's why, you know, phishing is the main door into a company. So if we can invest in getting people to care about it and to be cautious about it, just like they, you know, lock the door when they leave home, if that mentality will trickle in into the workspace, I think the, you know, return on investment will be huge, unlike any other technology almost, you know, that you can put in. It's like, it's basic.
Yeah, it is. And you know, as you were saying that, the interesting about culture, the interesting thing is every other episode that we've done on CISO Hotline with the experts and executives that we've interviewed, and we've asked that question, culture always came up as where to start first. Isn't that interesting that you know, you're the fourth one to say that exact thing. Yes, you take a spin on it from a training perspective. They may take a culture from a different perspective, but it all comes down to that. If individuals do not have a culture of security, they're not going to do it. They're not going to have a priority around it. And they'll feel encumbered by it, right? It's an operational barrier to most companies and individuals. You know, security gets in the way of my job, kind of a comment. We need to make sure that the culture is literally exactly opposite of that, I think.
Yeah. And that has to do also, you know, I can go on forever about this, because I think also the security, you know, the security team need to understand what you just said about how people see security as inhibitor versus something that actually, you know, helps them. And they need to, once they understand that as well, they have to have empathy and they have to help different departments work faster. So security is supposed to be safeguard so you can experiment more, you can do more. And that goes to be part of that culture that I'm talking about. It's not only about people not clicking, it's also how the security can help you experiment and move faster without crashing. I actually wrote an article about it, how security are like car brakes. You know, it was invented as a solution for going fast.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You can't go fast without brakes.
Yeah.
You know, which is not intuitive if you think about it in that context. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we thought about adding a culture, adding cyber awareness training to our users. Let's look at the backside of that. If you could subtract something to solve a security problem, take something away from an organization to get, you know, simplify things, use less, do less. What would you take away? What would you recommend people, you know, what would you take away from an organization to make security better?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I have a question. I have an answer that I think some people will kill me. But, you know, I think people are talking about they don't have budget and, you know, I get it, right?
Right.
But I think it's sometimes not that bad, you know, because you get to be more creative. You do, it's like I said, it's a mindset, right? Like sometimes money makes you not do the right things,
right?
Because you invested in like going back to this technology and solutions and sometimes, you know, you have to remember what got you to where you are and continuously doing that, you know, not just put more money in and more money in. So it really helps you to be more creative, and it has to like trickle down. And instead of like the going with the team and complaining, yeah, we don't have money, so we cannot do this, like think how you could actually do this. I'm a big believer in keeping things simple.
Yep.
It also shows in Wiser. That's why like the videos are short. It actually took more investment from, you know, my end to make them short. When I develop products, I always think about how to take away features. So to focus on, you know, on the main things. So if you really want to look at your security posture, like stop for a second, look at what you have, go back to the basics, invest over there. And I think that's it, you know, because you can do so much if you just double down on the basics.
I agree with you. That's a good point. So by getting and leveraging more out of what you already have.
Exactly.
How many companies have we talked to, even together or even on your own, that they have all this wonderful technology and even experts running that technology, but they're using 10 to 15, 20% of what they have. And then they want to buy another piece of whatever software tool. Right? So yeah, that's a very good point. Leverage what you have in a better, more efficient way.
Yeah. Double down on the basics. Honestly,
Yep. That's a very good way to put it in terms of what we want to do there. So, okay. So I know that, gosh, being in Israel right now, you're actually taking some time with your family. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. If you had an extra 5 hours a week, just 5 hours a week, what would you do with it? Mm-hmm.
In terms of security, right?
Anything. It could be starting another company. It could be spending time.
I wouldn't start another company now. but to be honest, like if I had an extra 5 hours and I was, you know, like a CISO or something similar, I would invest in engaging with different departments, with employees, with customers. I think sometimes we're so focused on what we're doing mm-hmm. and we're not engaging enough outside our teams. Yes. I think it's really not only for managers. I think it's also for employees. And I think, like, you know, I mentioned that before, I'm a big believer in empathy. And I think in order to understand how to service, because we're all providing service internally also in the company, in order to service other departments, we have to talk to them, you know, so we won't be considered as inhibitors, right? So like, I'm giving that example for, you know, a lot of developers love to use Slack. And it's not the most secure by nature application.
Right.
You end up seeing sometimes people that are not supposed to be there because they're leftovers, you know, like you invited a freelancer. Now he still has access to Slack. And so developers love it. It's, you know, very easy to use. But if we don't talk to them and understand what they're using, we may suggest for them to use something else. So you really want to, like, understand what they're using today, have empathy, and help them use their preferred solution in a better way. But in order to get there, you have to talk to them. And sometimes we don't talk to them. We're coming up with solutions that don't work for other employees, for other departments, and that distance the security from the organization. So I think, you know, that extra time is, I would, you know, and it's fun, by the way. It's fun to, like, talk to people to understand what their concerns are and how you can improve. And it goes to departments, employees, customers, partners, you know, and have them engage.
Yeah, it's interesting because in our industry especially, there's a lot of introverts. There's a lot of people that are happy to sit in front of their monitor and live their day answering emails, maybe a couple of phone calls. Mm-hmm. Almost accepted, especially since we have a lot of teleworkers, you know, they're all over the world mm-hmm. working wherever they may be. And so they don't get the chance to face-to-face engage, talk to people about other things, understand what's going on in the business. So I appreciate that advice. That's excellent advice.
And by the way, it holds them back.
Yeah.
So if you care, it does, if you care about your employees, you know, help them speak up. And, you know, one of the examples that I usually give is, you know, if you're running the meeting, you're going to be the last one to talk because you don't want people to know what you're thinking. You want to let those introverts, you know, speak up. It helps their career because if nobody knows what they think, they are considered mediocres. And they may not be mediocre. They may be the smartest person in the room. But if you don't engage with them, then you're losing.
How would they
know? Both sides are losing. They're losing and you're losing.
That's true. I appreciate that. Not only are users the most important part when it comes to a security program, people in general are the most important part of engagement and networking in a company, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, it's all about the people. I appreciate that. So I know that you're passionate about online privacy, mm-hmm. Especially security for children. So what is one thing parents can do to help protect their family and children? What have you found? I know that, like I said, this is an area that you're an expert in. So what can parents do? What can families do to protect their kids and as well as themselves?
Yeah, there's not one thing, but it's a mindset because, you know, as parents, we teach our kids how to be safe offline, right? Like, look left and right before you cross the street. You know, use a crossroad. And we help them keep safe. But a lot of parents just don't understand themselves the risks online. So I think it starts with, you know, them understanding what are the risks in order to teach their kids, because kids have a lot of knowledge about technology, and they're way more advanced mm-hmm. than many of the parents. But there's one thing mm-hmm. they're really lacking in the basic understanding, and it's trust. They don't know, they don't understand enough about trust, and that's something that parents can teach. Because when you think about the offline world, we can probably gauge if the person, you know, in front of us is trustworthy or not. We can read body language and all of that. But online, this goes away. And we need
right.
not to trust every email we're getting, every blogger that is clicking. And I think parents should educate themselves, first of all. And I think that saying that I don't care about privacy online because I have nothing to hide is such a big problem that trickles down to their kids. And I think it really starts at home. And that's why I am a big advocate of training people about how to be safe at home. There's so much I can right. talk about it all day long. And then, you know, educate their kids. And I think it also has to go into schools. I've created, a set of videos about that in order to make it easy for parents to educate themselves. And for those videos are also for kids. But there's so much going on. I'll just give you an example, you know, things people maybe are not comfortable talking about, but one out of four kids have been sexted. Basically, they have right. either received or sent inappropriate pictures of other kids. And I don't think parents even, you know, understand that. And yeah. and those kids don't understand. They think if there is no face in the picture, it's fine. But they can be registered right. as sex offenders. And if we think about what stays online and future employers, and if you're registered a sex offender as a kid, as you know, as a young adult, that stays Man. Forever. So you know, yeah. you invest so much in your kid's education, and then all those things stay online. So there's like, this is like another podcast by itself, but there is
True.
So much to talk about this. And I think as a community, we need to do more. And I think also as companies, we need to think about this, because when the kid gets hacked and his computer or phone is connected to the home network, and you come back home with your work computer and connected to the home network, you know, things leak. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not like you have to, when you think about employee training, you know, think about changing their behavior at home, because that will be probably easier, because people have more incentive in protecting their own data and protecting their own stuff. And if you change that, you know, it will be so much easier to have that same behavior applied at work.
I appreciate that. So if you know, I know that the struggles of parents with teenagers, especially, they give them their respective connective devices. So iPads, mm-hmm. tablets, phones, iWatches, you know, whatever have you, laptops. Now, the problem ends up being is if you're going to, obviously, as you stated, trust your child to do the right thing, but the statistics are saying, you know, one in four, like you mentioned before, are sexting, or, and I'm sure the mm-hmm. statistics are higher just in general from bad things. And these kids make mistakes, mm-hmm. right? They're susceptible to click on a phishing email as much as anybody else. So what do you think that parents could, without upsetting your teenager, you know, I know if I went to a teenage kid and you say, hey, you know, I'm going to install this blocking software, and I'm going to track every movement you make, and I know where you're at every second of the day, and I'm going to shut off your phone after 2 hours of use. You know, those kind of restrictive rules mm-hmm. don't play well with teenagers. Mm-hmm. So other than, you know, I know education is the key. How else can we prevent, just simply prevent them from making mistakes?
So
technologically.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the things, like I said, some of it is behavior. We're going to talk about it in a second. Some of it is technology, like, you know, have a VPN, maybe, you know, let them use a password manager or, you know, teach them about complex yeah. passwords. So they're like some two-factor authentication. So like my kids have two-factor authentication on all their social accounts. That's so there are some things that are very, very basic. And that's also part of the education, that these are the things you need to do. And it takes literally 5 minutes to turn on two-factor authentication, to explain to them what happens when they're using their social logins to log into apps, that it's not only convenient, but you're giving that app probably access to your friends list. Yes. You know, it's not just the login. Like, they need to understand that. They don't understand that. So first of all, it starts with like some minimal things that you can do. Like I said, the VPN on public Wi-Fi, and don't connect to public Wi-Fi altogether. And then it's the education of, you know, in general, like, don't trust every link, because, you know, on YouTube, for example, you can create an account with the same name of a very big blogger, with the same avatar of a very big blogger, and then you can comment on his post. So you can add a link and it looks like that blogger, you know, posted it.
Right.
But so there are so many things that requires, if it doesn't look right, if it's too good to be true, look, it's common sense. And we have to tell them, you have to apply the same common sense. You're not going to get, you know, there's something called V-Bucks. It's in Fortnite. They're using V-Bucks for buying stuff online. But that's the free V-Bucks. You're getting free coins that usually cost money. That doesn't make sense, right? And it doesn't make sense, because basically what happens, those are phishing sites. And you put in your Fortnite user password, name, password, you log in to get that free V-Buck, and then you're basically gave your user and password, and you're locked out from your account. And that account may have credit card information of your parents, and maybe everything you work for. You know, for them, it's very important. They built something there, and then they cannot use it anymore. Right. So, like I said, there is the technology part, but there's also the common sense part.
Yeah,
teaching them, you know, kids, if it's too good to be true, then ask me, you know, we'll check it out. If it doesn't make sense, nobody's going to give you anything for free. Realize that, you know.
That's right. So yeah, that education, that communication, that open capability to let them know that, you know what's going on, but also that you're there to help them when things they will have questions. And so, no, I appreciate that. So the online privacy is obviously very important. We have to make sure that we take it seriously as individuals. We take it seriously for our companies and our employees. We take it obviously ultimately seriously for our own personal lives and our children, and what we can and do for them. There's a lot of capabilities and tools and education components to get out there and utilize, just taking the time, right? Making sure that you invest in yourself, invest in your employees and companies to take the time to change their culture and make sure that you understand that there's a huge, huge return on that investment of your time when it comes to awareness. So I really appreciate that insight. So kind of to wrap things up today, Gabby, I really appreciate your time doing this. If you were to give, you know, this, you're absolutely a successful entrepreneur and your own startups. If you were to give someone an advice out there that's doing the same thing, what's the most important thing they should do and focus on first when building their own business?
Okay, great question. I think we are in a very unique time right now, and it's actually easier. I believe that, at least, it's easier than ever to start a startup today than it was before. The internet is in full power right now, and you can, you know, voice your opinion. We see a lot of people invest in personal branding. I think smaller companies can get personal versus the larger companies that lost that personality. You know, they lost that personal touch. So a lot of small companies have an opportunity to voice what they think, what they believe. They can use the social media to talk to their customers. So my first advice, you know, I'm assuming that, you know, there's a product market fit, because that's the first thing.
Sure.
If there's no product market fit, then, you know,
you're not selling anything.
And that's another discussion. We can talk about that also, but that's another discussion, how to figure out if you have a product market fit. But assuming you have a product market fit, I would say, don't think like the big companies. Don't buy ads, for example. Don't spend money on ads. Go out there, you know, do videos, talk, let people see who you are, who you actually are, what do you believe in, because people can connect with you. When they see who is behind the company, they feel they can get in touch with you. They know that they can, going back to this trust, they know what you stand for. And then from their point of view, what you stand for is what your company stands for. And that will allow you to speed up, you know, adoption and reduce the cost of lead significantly. You know, I launched Wiser about 4 months ago now, I think, something like that. And I haven't spent a dollar on ads, nothing, zero. And since I started, over about 500 organizations by now are actually using Wiser.
Right.
So, and that's really because I believe that, you know, my motto is, first of all, give. So I'm giving a lot of the videos that are on Wiser, you know, even the premium ones, I'm putting them out there for free on LinkedIn. I think they're going to bring value to people. I created recently, and I use the community, you know, I asked the community a question about how can a small, medium business invest $10,000 a year in cybersecurity?
Yeah.
And over 150 people commented, and I took those comments and I created this document because I'm not an MSP, right? I'm not selling, like, you know, I'm selling, but I think that if I can create this document and give it back to the community, basically everything that everyone said, and make it something that is useful, you know, people will see this. People will see this value, and that's what I stand for, right?
Yep.
So I think if you're a startup and you don't have a lot of money, I think, and you have a product market fit, leverage LinkedIn, leverage social media, you know, or the channels that are out there in order to, you know, say what you believe in. Don't try to push your product. Try to talk about, again, what you believe in.
That's really good. So that high touch, high value, leverage what the power of that boutiqueness, if you will, and from a startup perspective, don't try to be Google day one, right? Don't try to do those things that the big boys are doing, because you're not. And and so I agree with you.
And go deep.
And go deep.
And don't go wide. Go deep. One-on-one relationships.
Yes.
It may seem that it doesn't make sense, but build relationships with the community, with the people that you talk to, you know, build, because A, you will learn a lot from them. I can tell you, I learned so much from them, which then, you know, I take everything that I learned and I, you know, put it in my training, in my videos, and I make the product better. So first of all, you learn, and then word of mouth, you know, when people appreciate that.
Yes.
So that's so much better than paying for an ad that says, you know, buy my product and trying to go to the masses. That's just a waste of money if you are a startup.
I appreciate that. That's wonderful advice. All right. That's excellent. I appreciate all of the input you've given us today. Absolutely a ton of things that we can think about. Online privacy, our children, security awareness training, cybersecurity culture. So again, thank you very much, Gabby, for your time today. Everyone check out Gabby's company, Wiser Training. It's W-I-Z-E-R training. And if you are in need of that service for you or your company, please don't hesitate to take a look at it. I think it's an excellent product. I'm using it for my own purposes. It's a wonderful, wonderful technology. And again, thanks, Gabby. Appreciate it. And appreciate all your time and everything you're doing for the community.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. And if you check out the rest of our podcast on CISOHotline.com. Thanks, and have a wonderful day.